Hi, and welcome to another exciting rendition of What's Poppin', coming to you live from Prince of Peace in Fremont. I'm Peter Trudell with our guest, Diedrich Schaff. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Good to be with you.
It's been fun getting to know you over the course of, gosh, it's probably been a number of months, but been able to go to Great America, did a 49er game, and it's great to have you on the show. So a few questions. One is, you've briefly mentioned that you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, and I was kind of thinking about that a little bit, and I'm like, how does one even go about that?
Yes, so that was our pre-having kids trip to Africa. You go to it's like a porter service, you have to run through a porter. It's like their business out in that area, so you can't just go out and do Kilimanjaro by yourself. So this group of people, they have your tents, they have all your food. Like, it's actually pretty nice camping, other than the altitude, and in our case the weather was really bad. So it was like hailing, and there's like lightning. That guy got struck by lightning, of course.
So a guy gets struck by lightning on the trip.
Yeah.
But they weren't a part of your group.
No, it was a different group. It was on the mountain the same time as them. The weather when we went was unusually bad. Like, they hadn't seen it that bad in a long time. So yeah, we were on there, and there's lightning, and the porters carry like umbrellas, and I'm suspecting maybe the guy was carrying an umbrella. But he was this famous climber from Ireland, and he had climbed the seven summits at a record amount of time. So it's like, it just tells you that no matter who you are, you could just have bad luck on a tall mountain like that.
And did you hear about that during the climb up, or was that like once you got back?
It was on the mountain, yeah. We heard a lot of commotion in the camp. Like, a lot of the porters were just kind of making a lot of noise, and there's yelling, and you know, I think a couple other guys got injured on it. It doesn't happen very often, I don't think, but mostly it's a very safe thing to do.
Wow.
It's just that one time. We happened to be on it at that time.
So did that detour any of the people in the group from continuing the quest?
Probably so, I'm guessing. Yeah, because he was probably the leader. So there's like a leader. I can't remember what they're called. And then there's a cook. There's just a bunch of guys carrying stuff. It's kind of a weird feeling to be in that situation where people are carrying all your stuff for you. It's a little bit weird for me, but I'm used to carrying a lot of stuff. But really, you only, when you're climbing, all you carry is a light backpack with some jackets and water. You don't have to carry all your gear and stuff, so it makes the climbing really nice. So besides the altitude, it's really not too bad a hike. There's one day where it's like pretty vertical, like you have to use all fours, at least the route we took. But it's not very difficult. And then you go like a couple miles up. So we go up to like maybe 16,000 feet, and then you go back down. So you're like acclimatizing yourself to the altitude. And the day of the peak is the toughest night day. So you go from 16,000 feet up to 19,000 feet just in one push. And then so we start at midnight, I believe. So the only hard part is unless you're altitude sick, then the whole thing is hard. So luckily I didn't get sick, but my wife did get sick. So she had a really rough time, but she actually made it to the top still. She just had to go up a little bit later than us. So she was just trailing us, and they separated us out, which was kind of tough. But you know, had to keep going. That's the order. Yeah, you have to listen to them. So, the peak day was tough, because then you get all the way up to the top, then you have to go all the way back down. And I was just hoping, like, oh yeah, we get to go down. But then it's all slippery. Like, we went down all the way to like maybe 10,000 feet. So it's like way more down than up. And you're slipping and sliding, and it just wasn't very pleasant going down either. So so that was the toughest part.
Yeah.
That summit day.
Sounds like a wild trip.
Yeah.
And must have been a relief when you finally got down to the base and
were it was all in the books, right? It was great. Yeah, then we went to do the safari afterwards, which was, that was a really cool break. And then we went to like a little orphanage, so they let you stay there, then you kind of just help out with the kids and stuff. So it's sort of like a volunteering slash, then just, you get to help out at the orphanage. The kids like to play with adults from the United States or any European. We saw a lot of different people there.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And who is the, who led the orphanage?
It's called Light in Africa.
Okay. Providing a positive impact, it sounds like, for those kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like it was a great trip. Got to break a sweat and do some good at the same time.
Yep, yeah. That was our last pre-children
adventure.
Adventure, yeah. So maybe in like 15 years.
Yeah. So one of the fun things, you know, is when we go to the 11 o'clock together, you know, obviously we'll have, you know, sometimes we have all the kids and we're sitting together in like the middle section. And we're trying to grasp what, you know, the Pastor Mark or Pastor Zelt's talking about in the sermon, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes it's like, you know, it's like trying to catch a football, you know, where you just, it's right there, but you got the distractions,
yes,
you know, with the kids. So speaking of which, we were both plugged in here at Prince of Peace this past Sunday. And were there a couple things that stood out that you said, like, that's interesting. I'd love to chew on that a little bit more.
Yeah. So this last sermon was about Moses, leadership lessons of Moses. So I definitely noticed a couple things that stuck out to me. So the pastor Zelt said that Moses is the greatest leader of all time besides Jesus. And I was like, oh. I just haven't really thought about it in that way before, but yeah, I guess it's probably true, you know?
So yeah.
Just like, I always think like, oh, Lincoln.
Right.
So yeah. Like that. But like, oh, yeah. Well, Moses.
Yeah, I feel like David gets a lot of press. But Moses sometimes just gets forgotten. So speaking of like a great leader, like he was saying greatest leader in his opinion, like other than Jesus, right? So what were, I mean, were there some nuances that you felt like Moses implemented better than many that helped him to kind of excel in leadership? I mean, it was kind of an interesting group that he led. I mean, like, what are the things that come to mind that to you on his leadership style?
Well, the pastor was saying it's, you know, you have to, well, first thing that stuck out was that in that Numbers 12, he's talking, Moses is like, he's considered the meekest man on the face of the earth, which is like something you just don't hear much about great leaders is being meek as like a positive attribute. So, and then, yeah, so he did all this and it wasn't him doing it. He knew, let's see, and so he stayed oriented to God's will. That was one of the lessons. And he knew that God had put him in that position. So he was, because he was humbled, like he had failed, basically, you know, he killed that guy in Egypt. He was like at this low point that he knew he wasn't that great. Like he wasn't, so he knew God, it was all about God, not himself. So I think that's maybe why he's such a great leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that was an interesting from a previous sermon of really getting the understanding of why Moses left Egypt in the first place. That pressure after basically killing someone, and then what that meant, you know, because the person he killed was an Egyptian, and he was obviously, you know, so it just the political turmoil around that. It makes sense why he would leave, and then he has all that on his back.
And then he was just like, a shepherd or a farmer or something, and he used to be a prince or, you know, prominent in Egypt.
Yeah, so he had a, definitely an interesting upbringing. And
he's 80 years old, too, so it's a, it's quite a life change that you would go through.
Yeah. So there, I guess there's something, okay, so if we unpack it, there's something to the humility that I think is exemplary, and that oftentimes we see leaders that maybe don't necessarily hold that meekness.
Yeah, and I was thinking that there's there might be some inherent weakness in not following God's way. Like you were saying something about like companies teaching the Beatitudes or, similar principles to be humble and have integrity and things like that. I was looking at my companies, they have these, it's like pretty cheesy, like all the stuff they talk about, but it is, humility is mentioned in like their guidelines for your culture and stuff like that. So I was just thinking there's some inherent weakness to running things like with lying and, there's like this perception that you have to lie and do whatever it takes to get it done, like that kind of thing. But maybe over time, that type of leadership's gonna fail. And Pastor Mark had, I think it might've been the marriage or the couples retreat. Like he was saying that God's law, it works if you follow it, like, cause God created the world. So there's a reason why these laws are here. Like they, and this world was designed for them to work if you follow them. So
yeah,
of course it's not like you'll obviously be successful if you follow, but you know, maybe in general, it's probably better to follow the principles that are of God. You know, so.
Yeah, no, I think you just stumbled upon a fantastic sort of gold mine, you know, like a great point. So like when I got here, I asked Pastor Mark for the Book of Concord, which in the Small Catechism, it has the Ten Commandments outlined. And there's, you know, one of them, it says, you know, honor your mother and father, that it may be well with you and that you'll live long upon the earth, right? That's just one of the Ten Commandments. But if you apply that to Pastor Zelt's message on leadership, there's an element that you want to have as, say, one that's not in the leadership position. You want to have a healthy level of respect for those leading. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, that's not easy because people are imperfect human beings.
Yeah.
But what you said begs the question of what if, as simple as it is, things like the Ten Commandments were, you know, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. These things were kind of brought back in a way of like how much better would the world spin if people came to grasp with these things that have many uses. And one of the uses, of course, being like a road that leads you on a better path of life, right? Mm-hmm. When society functions and people aren't like breaking into each other's homes and like doing those types of things, like society functions better, right? And that's the wisdom that seems to sometimes get lost by society at large.
Yeah,
where it's like it's all right here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the humility, like Moses had, may it enabled him to know that he was wrong sometimes too. So like if someone has no humility, they're just gonna just do whatever they want.
Exactly.
And, just if you're never wrong, then you're just never gonna get better and make better decisions in the future.
Yeah, and that's where I'd say the Ten Commandments strikes terror in one's conscience. As they read it, they realize that even on their best day, they've fallen short of that, and that's why they ultimately need God's saving grace through Jesus.
Yes.
And so I love that mention from the Say Yes to Love conference on just the wisdom of actually not even doing it to perfection per se, but at least kind of taking a step of faith, if you will, and trying to implement, you know, a lot of the things in between these pages with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I think that in the adult Bible study, Pastor Zelt talked about, he drew this diagram of like a stick figure that was dead on the ground, and it was the Holy Spirit that basically brought him. Like, in other words, he was like, apart from God's grace, he couldn't have really done anything mm-hmm. to save himself.
Yeah.
And so that I think that the Holy Spirit behind that's the fuel that drives, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything else from the Pastor Zelt sermon that you thought was interesting?
Let's see. So yeah, I talked about inherently weak to use in fear and intimidation as your leadership tactic. Or that's what I was talking about before.
Using fear as a tactic.
Yeah, instead of, you know, the biblical way you're
so like Jesus washing the feet, for example, yeah, as opposed to bow to your sensei.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of those, what Hebrews, I believe, what was talking about, you have to be a servant to be a leader also. Yeah.
So there is something, there's something about that where you have, say, different coaching techniques in basketball, where you have maybe someone that throws a chair across the floor because they just, they're so like, they can't control that.
Yeah, I was going to talk about anger, sports. Right? Yeah.
But they're at the same time, they're leading a team versus someone else that's going to take a different approach and maybe look at it more objectively, a lot of wisdom.
Yeah,
too.
Like the John Wooden versus Bobby Knight type thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, who would you rather play for?
Yeah,
we're not trying to speak disrespectfully of anyone in that, for the sake of an example, you can kind of see the different coaching styles.
And, yeah,
you know, some people are, I would say for myself, I tend to gravitate more towards a John Wooden style.
Yeah. And I was thinking of different players, you know, like of course Mr. Tim Tebow and. David Robinson, I don't remember him. These guys are really, you could tell by their example what they're all about. So, and I remember, not that Tebow is the greatest player, but there's that one time where he won a lot of championships in college, of course. But in the NFL, he had that 8-game winning streak and he won that playoff game. And it's like, everyone's like following this guy, you know, because...
Yeah, no, I mean, you bring up an interesting point with Tebow. I
know
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too.
I saw this one clip and they're like, why is In-N-Out successful? You know, it's like, and then they like, he turned over the bottom of the fries.
He's
like,
verse,
it's because God's with us. And like, there's this element of Tim Tebow where like, statistically, he wasn't the best quarterback. Like he had his flaws, but like when push came to shove, you like won a playoff game against the Steelers.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, what business does he have doing that?
You just kind of feel like, hey, he's got to follow this guy. You know?
So,
so it's the leadership.
Right. So he does have that. Yeah, I see what you're saying. From like, would you want to play? Would you like to be on his team?
Yeah,
like, I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's, and so even people that maybe wouldn't even profess to be, that like followers of Jesus or Christians, even like I've heard like that they really liked Tim Tebow, really had like respect because they liked that like he was talking to the referees before the game and like treating people like human beings.
Yeah.
Right. Where sometimes these guys are just, they forget that.
Yeah, you can tell there's something different about him. Yeah. For sure.
So I think in short, it seems like that humility card comes back, right? With Tim Tebow, with Moses, there's something about being meek. As we maybe start to wrap up, one of the things that you've done is you've been a Boy Scout troop leader.
Yeah.
I was just curious if there's anything from a leadership perspective that they taught you that would that has some parallels to what we learned from Pastor Zell.
That's one thing I was looking at, was like parallels between like these leadership principles at work and like scouts too, which they have these tenets that they always recite. It's like loyalty, trustworthy, bravery, thrifty, kindness, and reverence. So you definitely see some of the some crossover there between the scout principles, which you're always teaching them to be honest and trustworthy and helpful. So there's definitely a lot in there too. And I think like the military has similar principles in some of their leadership stuff. So it's like there's some universal things that I think that work for leadership.
Yeah, it's almost like the it comes to surface, like Pastor Zett was saying, like a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, many of those executives will read Matthew 5 through 7.
Yeah.
So like once a week or something. Yeah. And so there's like these things that have come to the forefront of like, hey, these are actually good ideas because of the amount of, say, conflict that kind of can be in the workplace. And then when you're like reading about things like, well, maybe it's better to love your enemies than to like, you know, and you're meditating on those types of things.
Yeah.
It does change your perspective. At this point, we'll thank Pastor Mark. We'll call him the chief engineer who does all the editing that makes this podcast possible and his idea. And thankful for Diedrich coming in to the studio to unpack this past weekend's message. And for all of you listening, we thank you for tuning in and wish you a fantastic rest of the week. And until next time, stay poppin'.